Debbie Romero is your host today on Transcend with Debbie and can be found on all platforms. She is a renowned international evidential psychic medium, Reiki master, Munekai certified, and empowerment teacher, who is holding space to bring awareness with other like-minded souls as we raise the vibration collectively for humanity. With awareness, inspiration, love, compassion, and healing. Now, your host of Transcend with Debbie, Debbie Romero.
Hey, 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 welcome to Transcend with Debbie. Today's guest, an honor, Jason Rothwell is in the house. I cannot wait to open up the platform for community and spirit as we dive deep into his journey and how spirit's going to lead us into what we're going to talk about today. So welcome, Jason, to Transcend with Debbie.
Hello, Debbie. How are you? Nice to see you.
Yes, thank you. It's nice to see you. And it's nice to have you here. I've watched your journey over the years as I've been able to connect across the pond, and I've watched you work and I've watched you hold space for many people. For those who do not know you, would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah. So I'm Jason Rothwell. I am a spiritualist medium from the northwest of England in the United Kingdom. I came into spiritualism when I was 27. I'm 34 now, so that's like, what, 7-8 years? And that's pretty much it. Nice and easy, no complications.
Yeah, I like when you say that. It's just about it. But I've seen you work, and there's a lot of beauty when you work, and a lot of passion, and there's drive when you work. And so for those that don't know, what is a spiritualist medium? Because there are different ways that people present themselves. And so can you just give us a little idea of, for the world, that for people that don't understand that term, what that means to you?
Yeah, so obviously you have like a spiritual medium, psychic medium. I'm a spiritualist medium, which means I basically belong to what you would call the spiritualist religion. I mean, there's a big argument about at the moment about whether we should use the word religion, but that's what it means. I serve spiritualist churches in the UK. I've served a few in America, in Boston and in Florida, not in person, but on Zoom. A spiritualist medium is simply a person who belongs to the spiritualist religion.
I love that. And there's a lot of love when you're coming together as a community with the church. I've had the honor to work in many different churches across the pond on Zoom. And so this Zoom has really connected us without borders to bring forward the new energies of the world as we unite with like-minded souls. And so what comfort or what have you received from the spiritualist church as an individual? What would you say the progression or the changes that have given you that strength to step in as a spiritualist medium? What has the church done for you in that way?
We said when we were talking in the back room that I wouldn't say anything controversial. I'm instantly going to start by saying something controversial. The spiritualist church as a religion has given me nothing. Yeah. But a platform to speak on, which is something, but not anything at the same time, because at the end of the day, the spirit world doesn't require a platform. It just speaks.
Right.
And so it has given me something in terms of a platform, but everything that I have has come from the spirit world itself. And, yes. You know, if you want to talk about a church as in a community, a church as in a group of people, it has given me friendship, given me love, support, compassion. Yes. Just as all circles of humans do, it has given me controversy and difficulty, space for growth, good growth, yes. Bad growth.
Right.
That's if we're talking about a human church, that's what I've got. If we're talking about a physical church, very little.
Right. I love that you say that between you and spirit, it is you and spirit, because they're going to come in regardless of where we are. And your development is between you and spirit world. And so as you started your journey within these last couple of years, what has spirit done that has pushed you out of your comfort zone to say, I'm ready to be a spiritualist medium?
I'll share with you one, the one that has shaped my life the most at this point so far. And I don't share it very often. Last year, there was a lady missing in the United Kingdom named Nicola Bulley. And her story, I think, stretched across most of the earth. It was a media frenzy. And I had the pleasure and the displeasure of being the person who connected with her and eventually managed to bring her body back home to her family. That put me out of my comfort zone. In my intro, I am Jason and that is it. After that thing happened, everybody wanted to know what was more to Jason.
Right.
And if you don't have any more to offer, people want to find more. And it's like, there's nothing else. There's just this, just me,
right.
Just this situation. That put me really out of my comfort zone. As for anything else in my life where the spirit world is concerned, there's very little that puts me out of my comfort zone. I mean, we all get nervous, don't we? Like,
right.
You couldn't not be nervous working with the spirit. You're about to talk to an invisible person. That's a bit like, oh, awkward. But it wasn't even finding her body that was the awkward part. The awkward part was the sort of the way the modern media works.
Right. And
that is incredibly humbling, just released.
Right. When spirit is, and you said this perfectly, every case has a different energy that we're working with. And so every read is different. Every connection is different. And so when you're dealing with the magnitude of a soul and you're looking and you're searching for the energies of where her placement is and how spirit brought it forward to you, there is a profound rush of energy that comes with it. And what people don't understand, you're in it. You're really in the pathways. You're really in the power. And it does physically affect us as individuals when we're coming out of it, which means is that we're raised really high and we're running off the vibration of frequency. And then there is the low of like, okay, I'm out of it. I'm coming down, I'm grounding. There's a difference of feeling. And then there's also the real world, the 3D, you know, we talk about having to process the human nature of what just happened and the thoughts of what can come through one's mind with, how did he do that? What mind frame was he in? Why did they go to him? How did he unfold this? And people want to study it and delve deeper into Jason.
That's like, you know, to be very poetic, you sort of on one hand you're confronted with the ginormousness of like God's power doing something wonderful, and on the other hand you're confronted with the very harsh reality of humanity.
Right.
And you need to know stuff that God doesn't need to know. And like in that moment at that time when people asking like, how did you do this? What drew you there? What drew you there? They can't understand that within the energies of the spirit, a stick floating on water in the wrong direction, a bird fluttering from one branch to another is all part of the, like that, those tiny, tiny little things that like only come when you're in the connection of the vibration.
Right.
And like, you did this because you saw a stick floating in a water, or you did this because you saw a bird fly from a tree. Like, yeah, pretty much.
Right. And so what you're giving a great example of is you have to pay attention to everything, not just clairvoyantly, but physically, also within your actual eyes, real eyes, what's around you, what is catching your attention, the trees moving a certain way or the wind moving a certain way. So you're working with the elements also. There's a lot that can be studied when you're unfolding a story.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, how's the light falling on the water? Does that tell me something? Is the bird flying in a certain direction trying to tell me something?
Right.
Is everything. And then even like, am I wearing the right clothes for this moment? Is this the right? Yeah, are we at the right time of the day? Is this what's going on? And like, that, I mean, it's, you know, we've mentioned in the back room about old mediumship and new mediumship. And I don't think people realize that there's no such thing as new mediumship, or in my opinion.
Yes.
What there is the incredibly old, incredibly raw power of what we used to call seers and volas, spirit walkers.
Yes.
They have like come back, and the generation that's here now
are more
seers and oracles like they used to be in the ancient times, instead of all the tidied up, suited and booted, I'm a medium. And you're like, oh.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. You're a medium. Right on. What are you going to do with that?
I mean, like, I don't know why it comes into my mind, but like a random one, you know, somebody, and I don't mean any disrespect when I say this, but you'll get somebody who says they can read ribbons. I'm like, lovely, lovely. And they're like, what do you read? And I'd be like, I can read blood.
Yes.
I can read water. I can read fire. And they're like, oh, what about flowers? It's like, yeah, I can read flowers too. Like, but we can read the sky, the flight of birds, bones. And they're like,
yes.
Oh, that's all a bit grim. And it's like, is it?
No.
It's really old.
You know, because I'm going to say I'm very much like you in some aspects of where we are following the awakening of spirit. If we're seeing bones, we're going to work with the bones. If we're seeing the fire, we're going to work with the fire. What spirit initiates us into is the journey of self and the developing the link and how they are getting our body ready to do the work that you just did when it came to investigations. Those are tools that you're going to need, the water, the fire, the sky, when you're looking for a missing person or you're going into that remote viewing. Those are the elements for your job. So.
Yeah. I mean, not everybody has a packet, you know, I mean, it's a bit of a tangent topic, but like, you know, if you don't have a pack of tarot cards available, that's cool. Grab some pebbles, rub them in your hand, give them a bit of, right, there you go. Be able to read.
Right.
Grab some sticks off the ground and throw them and like, there you go, we can see. Right. You know, cards aren't always available. Crystals are not always available. Sometimes you have to like just make do with a handful of sand and just like, let's see what we can do.
You know, Jason, there's so much beauty in that. And I think for those that are listening, spirit is going to come through with any object we choose to use because it is within us and around us.
And no objects at all. Like, you know, if you have no objects, you can literally just, you know, put your hand to your heart and reach to the power within and just be like, okay, don't need a tool, actually. The vision is inside. Like,
yeah. And I think, too, some people need, depending where they are in their journey, those tools are to help give a visual for some.
Absolutely.
But I understand completely from the level that you're speaking of. I want to talk a little bit about how the energy changes after you've come out of finding this young lady, Nicole. And I want to talk about what happens to you. How did you manage your self-care after handling a big case like that?
I'll be honest. I think I handled my self-care very badly. I really did. I handled it badly. I thought I could be all right and I'd manage it. I got to a very difficult place and I just have to keep telling myself, you've done a lovely thing, and then you get these people, you know, like Twitter is the most terrible place in the world to be. You should never go on Twitter. And then you have these people who are constantly intruding on your day and they're asking you questions and trying to catch you out. And
right.
Natural human instinct is to try and defend yourself, try to explain.
Right.
I think I did a little bit of that. And then I learned another thing that would probably is the best thing for my self-care, most people say I should practice it more. I learned that sometimes silence is the best answer to everything.
Yes.
And just be like, yeah, nothing to say.
Right.
And, you know, to not defend things, to not explain, to just be like, look, it's none of your concern, actually.
Right.
And then to sort of just give myself a bit of a kick up the backside and be like, come on, like, that job is done now. There's more work to do. Get back on the road.
You know, Jason, I did something very similar where I helped someone find something that was a very deep, a big of value. And when I was in my awakening, and I was like, wow, that just happened. And the energy of the rush, you know, there are people that are going to come and they want to include you in everything. And this is where the boundaries start to come in. And, you know, when they come and they talk to you, it puts you back in that same frequency and energy, right? And so that it gets you amplified and you're just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So it takes you ungrounded because they're so excited that, and mine wasn't a person, mine was finances. I helped someone find $1 million that was across the country. And I was like, whoa, that just really happened, right? And for me, every time the excitement came, more detail, more information, more evidence. I need more evidence. It was never enough. Never enough, even after finding the deep details. And for me, I had to just, what's done is done. Thank you. What's done is done. And it took a minute for the energies to adjust. And so for you to say that, I also myself had to be like, oh my God, oh my God, because you get, I almost lost them here. There you are. I was like, oh my God, that just happened, right? And so we're learning to balance the frequency and vibration of when the spirit world is assisting and anchoring it here on our planet, and to be able to come out of the energies can really take a toll on a medium when you're in a psychic investigation or just in the work on the denser, heavier energies. Because
it is, I mean, it's like you can even, I don't know about you, but you can even feel it now. Like even this topic, even talking about it, it's quite a heavy energy.
Right.
It is a heavy.
You can feel it, right?
And it instantly drags you into this very earthy sort of lower vibration.
Grounding it, yes.
And because it's all consuming.
Right. And I think this is important for someone who's just starting their journey. When they're wanting to do a psychic investigation, they want to help find people, they want to understand the history. We're here to give an example of how to remind them to take care of themselves, aftercare and boundaries. We're going to help lead a way of what we experienced and what we did, and how can we change that for the next person when it happens to them.
I would say one thing, like, and it has just like occurred to me, like, boundaries are so important, like personal boundaries, knowing when to say, look, I've given you everything I can give you.
Yes.
But on the same hand, there's another boundary that maybe you'll disagree with, but it's just a personal one. I always think you can't really do anything unless approached. And if you haven't been approached and you have to do something, then you should probably do it privately.
Like, yes.
I know people who message family members of people who are missing and be like, oh my God, the spirit world's told me. And I'm like, you can't do that. You can't say, by the way, your son, your daughter, they're dead and they're here in my house talking to me. Like, no, bad idea. And
right.
It's like, if you're going to do that, if you're going to get involved, go do it yourself. Go find the person. If that's what you feel you're going to do, go check out the place that you feel you need to be. But don't go reaching out to somebody's family and telling them that, you know, you're talking to their dead loved one, because it could end so badly.
I think that's in everything that we do. When it comes to integrity, it also comes to the responsibility as we are holding space for the spirit world for others. And it's, you know, there's that ego. Am I right? Was this right? Did it validate? Was it? So this is where you want to go into a circle and practice that. and develop that muscle if you're wanting to validate what your work, how you're evolving when it comes to that type of work. Because I know that there's different levels and stages of how we awaken.
Yeah, there is an unfoldment, isn't there?
And yes.
You have to embrace the unfoldment. I mean, if you want to massage your ego, that's absolutely fine. You know, I make sure I massage mine regular because it's so important. Like, everybody wants to be validated. There's nothing shameful in that. But like you say, go to a circle. Massage your ego in a circle if you need to. Get some validation there. And then when you go out into the open world where, like, you know, there are vulnerable people, not people practicing, but vulnerable people, then you have to leave your ego to the door and your need for validation at the door and just be like, this is the job.
Right. I remember when I had my awakening when it came to missing people, missing souls, right? And you're getting the images of the traumatic events of where they're at, how, what experience, what led to that moment, who were they with prior? And some of those things can be very difficult to hold space for.
Yeah.
So,
do you know, like, people have sort of, I shouldn't really go into that too much, but one thing I've said to a few people who've asked sort of like, you know, what did you see? It's like, and not just with that one lady, but with other people, you know, what did you see? It's like, you don't want to know what was seen. Like, it's not for anybody else to share but me. And like, and for me to hold on to and for my eyes to have seen. And and I'm quite okay to not share that. And then like, yeah, but how do you cope? And it's like, well, I suppose the best way to explain how you cope is if you opened your eyes to look at something that could be unpleasant, then you are prepared before you open your eyes that it's going to be unpleasant, you know, so you're not shocked when you see it, even if you feel the emotions and whatever. You know, like people said when I found that particular lady, were you shocked at finding a dead body? It's like, I went to find one. I would have been more disappointed had I not found one than finding one. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I wasn't shocked. I was shocked that it was right, but I wasn't shocked at what I found because I'd set my intention to find that thing in that way.
Do you think also, too, as mediums, when we do put ourselves in these circumstances to open up because we're looking or helping one unfold the loss of a loved one or just an item, the responsibility that comes on to the medium of like, well, what involvement did you have in this? Because you could be questioned. Could you imagine the mind frame of someone that's saying, well, this is impossible. There had to be some involvement on your end. And so how do you also maneuver through that energies? You know what I mean? There's so many people with that just came to me right now. I'm just thinking many of us as mediums need to be prepared for that way of thinking when we're doing this work as well. How do you protect yourself from something like that?
A lot of white wine. a lot of wine. That was how I helped myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard some horrible things, but, you know, it goes across the whole spectrum of mediumship, not just that particular topic, but just working generally. There's you know, people like, well, how do you know that information?
Exactly.
You've checked my Facebook or you've been on my Snapchat or my MySpace. And it's like, not really, no.
Right. Who has time for that? You know, the details that we're given, it's given by spirit. If you believe, and it's for, we're not here to pull magic tricks. If it resonates, beautiful. If it didn't resonate, hold on to it. You know, you're going to know what is real and what is not real. You're the people that are in the circles or the people that you are connecting to, there are the people that are wanting the information. So with it hopes that you're open heart and mind, right?
It reminds me, you know, there was a book I read recently about Jesus and how Jesus conducted miracles. And there is a part of the book that says that when Jesus was being questioned by King Herod and his courtiers, they said, like, perform a miracle, and Jesus basically went, I can't. And they were like, well, come on then, you know, Messiah, give us a miracle. And he went, I can't.
Right.
The question, the idea is that there was so much skeptical energy, so much negative energy being thrown at him, mm-hmm. that even if he tried to conduct one, it would never have been good enough. Right. And, you know, so when people come for a sitting or when people come to a service, I say to people, you know, bring an open mind, have faith, let faith and positivity like flow out of you, because mm-hmm. if all you're going to do is bring negativity and cynicism, nothing's going to happen.
I think that's a beautiful example of what happens not only in a reading, but also energetically with a person. We as mediums have to get past the layers of your doubt and all your things of fear that you're holding into your auric field. So when you're coming for not only a reading, but look at it as, how is your energy speaking to others? If we are filling into, oh, I don't know about all this hocus pocus, or I'm doubting this stuff, and their mind frame is already in that feeling of, that ain't for me, because they're not positive thinkers. We are having to move through those emotions. We're having to move beyond the mental thinking into the soul and the energy of where their true essence is, which is the love and the open heart and the mind. But we're having to work harder. But then that's, you said it right. The miracle may not happen. The unfoldment may not happen, because we just had to move the energy of what they were doubting. So the miracle that they got was the healing.
Absolutely. You know, that's, I mean, it's, you know, people heal themselves, but they heal themselves by being open to be being healed. Mm-hmm. And if you're just going to sit there and, oh, it's all going to be rubbish. Well, it is all going to be rubbish, because you're not going to be willing to accept it. You know, it's like another one of Jesus. He said, like, his words would speak to those who had ears to listen.
Yes.
If your ears are willing, then there is a message to be heard. If your ears are not willing, you won't hear anything but noise. Mm-hmm. And the same when you go to watch a medium work, if you are willing to be convinced, you will hear things that will be like, oh, that's interesting. If you're not, you'll sit there going, that's rubbish, that's rubbish. Anybody could say that.
I agree. And that's where they look at it, oh, that was fluff. She's just fluffing it. Where's the evidence? Prove it. But that's what was being acknowledged. So you have to acknowledge the little message that is a little softer, a little gentler, and the person is going to feel it. So there is an essence when you're in the power that's brought forward, and that person should feel that shift. They should feel it within their mind and their body and spirit. When we are in the power of the energies, they are going to get the touch in the way that they need it. Even if it didn't resonate with them yet, there was a seed that was planted within their mind, their body and spirit to create the shift.
And some of the best messages, you know, like there's a young lady recently, and I mean, I can't go into her name, obviously. So just trying to move her name out of my mind. She came for a sit-in, and I was like, congratulations on being pregnant. And she was like, I'm not. And I'm like, really? Are you sure? And she's like, am I? And I'm like, I think you are. Like, I don't think I am. I'm definitely not. She's like, I'm sure I had my period the other day. And I was like, okay, never mind. And like, we gave the reader, she was like, you know, it was really good that, but the only thing you got wrong was the pregnancy. And I'm like, well, just remember we've mentioned it. And then like 2 days later, she texted me. She's like, you told me I was pregnant, and I was. It's like, oh my God.
Wow.
Congratulations. But she didn't know that at the time. And even though the reading was nice, the fact she found out she was pregnant afterwards was the like icing that sort of sold it for her. She's like, oh my God, I can't remember all the other stuff you said. What was it? And it was like, you should have been listening.
I think though what happens, Jason, is that when someone books a session with us and we're in that energy, it puts them in like that such light trance that they don't even remember the reading for some, because the work is being delved deeper in another level that's needed. And so not all the time are they going to remember.
Sometimes you can get into those sit-ins, can't you, where say somebody's mum or dad has come, their sister, brother, child are connecting. And they don't remember what's been said, even though so much has been said, because actually an awful lot of sort of catharsis has been going on. And they've been sat there crying and like, that's my dad. And that definitely sounds like my dad. And mm-hmm. I'm so glad he's helping in this situation. So glad that. And you can see that when the reading is done, even they look tired. Like so much just happened there. And it's like, yeah. And you won't remember nearly a word of it. And like from the moment you leave that door, apart from it was your dad.
It's part of everything from the loss, the grief, the timelines of remembering their loved one, all of that energy is built up within the back of their throat with a glimpse of hopes that they do come in. So their nervous system, their muscles, everything is playing a factor with the hope that this medium is going to do their job in the way that my spirit needs it. They're coming in with all that anxiety of energies. So
adrenaline comes.
Yes.
And I suppose in some situation, I don't know why this comes into my mind, but like, I bet some people when they're having a reading and a certain message comes through, might experience like a bit of flight or fight type of, and you know, so that you can get to a certain point of a reading where you can see people getting very emotional and they either become very forgetful or very obstructive or just very, very open. And then they become like too open. They start telling you all sorts of things.
Yes.
But it's like that panic response that this is working and they don't understand how it's working. And right. It's like, oh my God, everything you're saying is making sense. And it's like, how is it making sense? That means my dad is not actually dead. He's sat next to this person.
Right. I think also too, again, going back to responsibility of the medium, when to pause, to give them, the sitter, an opportunity to process the energy and the evidence, to really let them sit with that moment of like, oh my gosh, this just happened. That is my dad. Because we're so quick to give evidence after evidence, but just that one piece is so profound that they haven't even processed the first part that you just gave them. And I think this is where we as mediums need to be responsible to look at the sitter, to look for the responses and to see the reaction, to hold space, to give them an opportunity to have that release.
Absolutely. I mean, so many, you know, we all work to a clock. We live in a world ruled by time. I, however, and perhaps yourself, but I know I certainly do it. When I work with the spirit, I don't really block a time. I don't run readings back to back to back to back, because there's no telling how that first sitting is going to go, how long it's going to take. Are you going to be sat there for half an hour, or are you going to be there for an hour and 45 minutes? Because this massive message could be coming through, you know, somebody's son maybe come in and he took his life or something. That's a massive, massive conversation to have. And it needs to be had without going, oh, so my next appointment's here in 5 minutes. Thank you very much. With love. You're like, huh? You know, so.
It's very kind of you, because Jason, a lot of people work that way. And this is where that journey and holding space as a medium, not only a medium, but to hold space for someone in their healing journey for the sitter.
Yeah.
That's a big job.
I think, like, because you have to, like, just consider two things, like, why I don't rush sitting, because I know that they will overrun if they need to. And that could be a once-in-a-lifetime message. That spirit may never come again. Like, that may be it, just that one time where it's like, Mom, I'm sorry I did what I did. Mom, I love you. Mom, understand. And then he might go into the spirit world, blend into the oneness, and never push his way forward ever again in her whole life. So if that's going to take 2 hours of my life, it's not really an issue.
I work that way, but I also had to learn. Yes, I worked that way, but I also had to make sure that I paused to take care of myself, because I gave too much of myself.
Absolutely. And you can, because like, I mean, I had somebody talking to me the other day, and honest to God, the level of like detail they wanted, not from the spirit world, but but like intuitive guidance. And I'm kind of like thinking, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a solicitor, I'm not a marriage counsellor.
Yes.
Think about this. And I must have had 20 different questions, and they were really like technical questions. And I'm like, I'm a psychic.
Thank you. I think that there's a confusion to some. They feel that we have this magic, and I talked about this earlier, the magic wand to create the miracle to feel better. And I remember talking about this before we started, and Spirit was delivering a message, because there are many people that do still have that belief system as Jesus creating the miracles, you know, and being in that energy. But let's talk about, what is your role to feel better? And what role will you take to help Spirit? Because Spirit was reminding the community, the collective, you have to do your part. We meet you, but you have to meet us, and you got to do your part as well.
I do talk about Jesus, because I feel like I'm in this place at the moment where I think people like Jesus, we need to reintegrate him into the spiritual element. God is my main thing. I think we need to, as spiritual beings, we need to make God popular again. Like, because a lot of people hear the word God and they're like, bad idea, bad idea. Like, old sins and church and whatever. And it's not, God is not that at all. But Jesus said in one of the Gospels, you know, these works that I do, you will do also, if you but believe I have done them.
Right.
And the idea was that Jesus didn't want to create a religion that worshipped one man as like some miracle worker. Jesus wanted to create a religion where everybody within that religion could work miracles for themselves.
Yes.
And they could heal themselves by their own faith, just by saying, I am well. You know, if you actually read the Bible, and I mean, I'm not saying you haven't, but like if people read the Bible, what they would realize is Jesus doesn't work any miracles. In the whole Bible, he doesn't actually do anything overly miraculous. All right, he walks on water. That's quite miraculous. But like the healing, he says all the way through, it is your faith that healed you, not I healed you, your faith healed you. Yes. And that goes back to like what you say, you know, like a lot of people like come to mediums, spiritualists, psychics and be like, help me. And it's like, all we can do is show you the road to happiness is that way.
Right. You can we got to stay realistic with what we're able to do and how the energies can come in. And I think that this is important. Yes, we want to stay in the energies of miracles, but we also want to stay grounded with what you, who you are as an individual, your blueprint, and what you can do for yourself. So I absolutely love this conversation. What came to my mind as you were speaking of Jesus was the movie Stigmata. I love the movie Stigmata, you know, because the messenger comes in and he's like, the messenger is not important. It's the message that is important.
Absolutely. Like, and that's the other thing, isn't it? You know, and I mean, you notice it, especially in America. Jesus, the man, is no longer, he doesn't exist. Jesus, the God, has become worshipped, and yet Jesus, the God, and Jesus, the man, are nothing alike. And Jesus, the man, was only interested in the message he was giving across, and the message was all that mattered. And many Christians now worship Jesus, but when they shouldn't do, because he didn't want them to, And have no idea what the message was. And the message was that the kingdom of heaven is within us. The light of the world is inside of us. God breathes through us. And we all have the power to be, you know, miracle workers in our own right. And that it's up to you to cast your demons out, so to speak. Like, nobody can cast them out for you. You have to go in there, dig down and be like, I don't really want to swear, but like, you know, what is this shit? Drag it out and be like,
Well, this shit just came up. Let me move that to the side. Well, that was mine. Thank you, Spirit, for bringing it up. Like, I agree with you, Jason. And I love that you are honoring your journey, and you have a beautiful approach on how you're holding space for the community and the collective. I think the work that you have done and how Spirit has led you to help find others and to leave a footprint for those that are coming in and awakening in this journey, it's important that others also understand what can happen when you are delving into these type of energies. What happens to us as individuals? How can you manage the self-care? How do you put the boundaries up and stay in the integrity of the energies? And so collectively, what message would you like the world to know as we close up, Jason, for your time?
Collectively. It sounds a bit, the only thing I can think of is the idea that in the beginning of the world, all there was God. And all there has ever been is God. There is nothing else but God. And we are just parts of the one and only. And we are not separate from it. We are not distinct from it. We are beautiful and unique in our own ways, but we are all part of the one. And I suppose, finally, to put a bit of a darker tone to it, there are very, very difficult times in our world ahead of us. Very, very difficult times. And we must protect the light within us, but we must also have courage to shine our light for those who do not trust their own, you know, all across the world. Whatever it is, those storm clouds on the horizon that so many mediums and psychics can feel, whatever that is, the time is approaching for us to shine those lights and to show that there is a way out of every darkness.
Right. Thank you, Jason, for your message. Thank you for being a guest on Transcend with Debbie. It's an honor. And where can people find you, love? What website, Facebook? Where are you, where can people find you?
And technically, you can find me on LinkedIn. I only found this out the other day. I didn't actually know I was on it. TikTok, probably shouldn't find me on TikTok because I get bored and don't go on it very often. But Facebook, just Jason Dean Rothwell. I do have a business page, but I don't really use it very much. So just find me on Jason Dean Rothwell. I'm terrible. I'm literally, just when I came into spiritualism, I like sign up to everything. And as I've gone along on my journey, it was kind of like, yeah, if you need me, you'll find me.
The right people will find you. That is what I believe. Spirit always leads the way.
And if you don't find me, I'll find you.
Ooh, beware, y'all. He's on the look. He's on the look. Take care. Thank you so kindly for being a guest. Much love, everybody.
Okay. Namaste.